use it to fertilize the lives of others. Bring us up together, Lord, we pray, that there'll be no divisions among us. And God, make us stronger that we would fight the good fight of our faith together. God, we pray for the unity of the saints. We pray, God, that we would recognize that we are indeed our brothers and sisters' keepers. Please, God, help us to remember that as we have been forgiven, we must forgive as well. And Lord, as we have been loved, we must love as well. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to become greater disciples. Certainly, Lord, you saved us from death, hell, and the grave. And so, God, we pray that we will make good use of this life. Oh, God, that your name be glorified. Father, we ask these things because we have the faith that believes that you will hear and answer our prayers. And, Lord, you will do it. Thank you, Lord, we pray that we have learned and lived long enough to know that our trust in the Lord will certainly pay off. And, God, we know that you are a faithful God. And so, God, what you've done in the lives of others, we pray only, God, that you would do in our lives as well. This is our prayer unto you. And, Lord, we hear that you hear and answer. And so we will wait, just as Isaiah commanded. We will wait upon the Lord. And so, God, do what you do so well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to John chapter 8. Again, we've got four pillars of strength. We're building on encouragement, enlightenment, endearment, and enrichment. And what we need to establish, and I know you've already established it because you all are the more excellent people, but we need to always remember, as I was saying to you last week, let me turn down just a little bit, As I was saying to you last week, I really want you to realize what you already have. Sometimes in the body of Christ, we spend a lot of our time, you know, waiting till we die to get our pie in the sky, waiting on the next. You have a lot already going for you. And one of the key things that you have is the fact that you are a child of God. You're not waiting to become one. You don't have to tarry. You don't have to sit nowhere special. You don't need nobody to put nothing on your head and all that kind of stuff. You are already a child of God, and that works for you. That gives you an advantage because a father knows how to love his children. Even the Bible said that if earthly fathers know how to do these simple things like provide and protect and that kind of thing, how much more do you think your father will do? And so what I need you to understand, and I pray that you'll get it, is that you have advantages. And you need to take advantage of the advantage that you have and use that so you can build your life in Christ Jesus. That's my encouragement to you, to know that you have these things already working for you, and God don't mind you using them. In fact, he wants you to use them. Everything God gives you, he gives it to you so you can use it, okay? And so in John 8, I want you to get this one. If you'll come down, and we want to read beginning at verse 39. Verse 39 says, "Their reply, our father is Abraham," they declared. "No," Jesus replied, "for if you were children of Abraham, you would follow his good example. I told you the truth. I heard from God, but you're trying to kill me. Abraham wouldn't do a thing like that." No, you are obeying your real father when you act that way. See, our life is an open book. What we do tells who we really are. I'm going to let that simmer. What we do tells who we really are. What we say tells who we're really learning from. How many of you as parents have ever said to your child, "And where did you get that from? Who taught you that?" How many have ever turned around and said, "What'd you just say?" Because you know it didn't come from you. Jesus has given us what creates disadvantage in this text. You're showing out because of who you're from. See, when you see bad behavior, it came from somewhere. Okay, so he says to them, "You're telling me that Abraham is your father, and I'm telling you that you're not showing the character. You don't have the DNA of Abraham if you're trying to kill me." He said it very clearly. Abraham wouldn't do that. Abraham would have recognized who I was and greeted me with a kiss and an offering. He would have bowed where you bowing up. He said, no. Let me help you understand something. What you do tells a whole lot about who you are. Okay? And you can't hide that. You can camouflage it, but you can't hide it. Not forever. It's going to come out. You know what we always say, and the truth going to come to light. And so what he's saying to us is that what? We need to be genuine. Either we are truly disciples of Christ or we're disciples of the devil. There is no third place to hang out. Either we is or we ain't. It's just that simple. Now watch what he goes on to say, and this is where our encouragement starts coming in at. They replied, "We were not born out of wedlock. Our true father is God himself." Jesus told them, if is always the word that says you messing up somewhere. "If God were your father, you would love me, because I've come to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me." Now watch this. "Why can't you understand what I'm saying? Is it because you are unable to do so?" Why? Because of the devil. Watch this. He says, "For you are children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning and has always hated the truth." The devil is a liar. We say that, and we need to know what we're saying when we say that. We're speaking an absolute truth. We're saying something with scriptural power behind it. Don't be throwing that out there. Sometimes we said, you know, we just don't play with that. That's powerful. When you say the devil is a liar, you're smacking him in his face and you're letting him know you can't fool me. And when you say that to somebody, say it as a way to help them to grow stronger. Now, I know we all clown and laugh a little bit, you know, but I'm saying this to you in all sincerity, that you have something very powerful when you can recognize tricks of the devil. Remember, he says you have an adversary who's cunning and slick. When you can recognize the trick of the devil, he don't like that. So when you expose him, and you don't have to say John 8:40, you know, you don't have to say that because you're not going to remember all that. But what you can remember is you have an absolute truth spoken from an absolute truth. He said, no, what you're doing demonstrates, and again, we have to be very mindful. We're trying to grow the church. Now we're down to 49 weeks. We're trying to grow the church, so we don't want to just hit folk over the head with the gospel and condemn them and crush them and discourage them. We want to be able to say to them in love, you know, your character betrays you. You know, even when we meet folk who call themselves church folk, and anybody can say they go to church. Trust me, anybody can. A lot of people go to church. It's nice of you to join us, Reverend. No, I'm just kidding. That was so unkind. Bad preaching. Anybody can go to church. And I pray that everybody would go to church. But going to church don't save us. Going to church does not truly identify us with Christ. Mm-mm. You can hang out a lot of places. You can go to a basketball game, don't make you a basketball player. You can go to a football player, don't make you a football. There are places you can go that don't make you nothing. Same thing with church. I hate to say it, but it's God honest truth. Just coming to church ain't going to save you. It don't make you a Christian. Christians are identified by character. Read the book of Acts very carefully. They saw how they conducted themselves and said they're Christians. And there ought to be something about us that stands out. There ought to be something about us. Ain't got nothing to do with hairdo. What happens when you ain't got no hair to do? It ain't got nothing to do with clothes. Anybody, like I told you before, I have not found a section yet in any store that sells church clothes. I see back-to-school sales. I see fall, winter, summer. But I don't see no back-to-church sales. Even in a Christian store, they don't make no big to-do about Christian garments. You can buy priestly garments. You know, if you're a bishop, you can buy bishop stuff and all that kind of stuff. Trust me, you and I both know that don't mean a whole lot. Anybody can buy that stuff. Did y'all see on the news the other day with this 16-year-old boy down in Florida been impersonating a doctor? They say he was seeing people and giving them advice. 16 years old, he's ambitious, but he's going to jail. You can impersonate a lot of things, but don't make you one. And so what I'm saying to you is, listen to what he said. We're in John 8, verse 44 now. He said, listen, the devil is a liar. You need to know that. And he's going to lie to you about character. He's going to tell you that because you speak as an oracle of God, that makes you holy and sound. They're sitting there looking Jesus in the face and telling him that we just like you. We're of you. He said, no, you ain't my kind. Because what you're doing is not what my kind would do. And I've said to you before, beloved of God, you're only fooling yourself. And to live a life of a fool is a bad choice. When in fact it takes more effort to be a liar than it does to tell the truth. Just become. And one of the things I've said to you a long time ago is that it is our responsibility to make disciples. Jesus was absolutely clear about that. He says, go and make disciples. They're not born. There's nobody ever been born a disciple. Nobody. Sorry. Not Peter, not James, not John, not Matthew, not Mark, not Luke, none of them. They were born just like us in sin. And the fact of the matter is, we got to make disciples. And to make requires effort. How many of you have ever, and some of you, this is not a slight against brothers, because we cook and do things, but how many of you have ever had a task to do and just couldn't get going? You got to wash, cook, clean, fix. You know, that's how things fall into disrepair. You know, when it first started making a little funny noise, we ignore it. Man, I need to get out there. And you don't. You know, the grass started growing. You say, I need to cut the grass. You don't. You know, little stuff, and it never happens because you don't ever have the effort. And I'm going to tell you something now. Same thing going to happen in your Christian life. This ain't going to happen automatically or you just hang around. You can hang around the front yard all you want, and not one blade of grass going to get cut. You got to cook dinner. You can sit there and go, Lord, I need to get in there and start cutting up these potatoes. And then time catches up with you. How many of you have ever been required to do something for more than yourself, and then you wish you hadn't volunteered or wish you hadn't? You know, they done buttered you up. You make the best potato salad. And you're looking at 10 pounds of potatoes, thinking to yourself, they won't eat it today. But you got to do it. You why? Because there's an expectation. There's somebody depending on you. This church is depending on you to grow this church. We're down to 49 weeks. I haven't seen a whole lot of stirring, but you got to do something. And the blueprint is right there. Go make disciples. We meet people everywhere we go. We meet people who are not saved, who are borderline apostates. You've got to be able to make disciples out of what you've been made out of. You can't make what you ain't. Amen. You can't make what you ain't. I know that sounds crazy, but it's simple. You can't take me where you're not going. You can't show me what you don't see. So Jesus is saying to them, your character is giving you away. You're telling me that you're of Abraham, but you're doing everything counter to what Abraham would do. And he gives it to him. He said, no, if Abraham were truly your father, you would love me. You would have greeted me with a kiss. He said, but you're trying to kill me. Your character will give you away. And then he says to them, and this is critical, he says, there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. This is a New Living Translation. King James about the same. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Now watch this. So when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Why? Because you're a child of a liar. You know, we've been preaching the gospel. Dr. Dixon, the good Reverend Muriel. And people don't believe us. We stand up in pulpits and we stand in places of learning and we know folk ain't getting it. Don't we know? We have to fall under the encouragement that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, in the psalm book it says, we sang for you, we played our harps for you, we did everything for you and nothing. And what we need to realize is, the natural order of life is that we're born in sin. We're children of liars. So we got to break that. And how do you break a good lie? Good truth. Good truth. Stay in that gospel. Keep that book open. Keep that smartphone going. And say, listen, I'm here to help you. Again, we can't grow this ministry with discouragement. Folk know when they're bad. You don't have to tell them all the bad stuff about them. I mean, they've got to learn how to be trained and learn the spiritual principles, but they're not going to learn it if you don't learn it. There's enough of us in this room right now that if everyone took these next 40-something weeks and went hard at it, we have to build a church. We'd be sitting by each other like this going, would you please move over? I can't. The pew is full. We need to buy a pew. You know, the efforts that it takes are within you. You share what you know. How many ever been in that place where you're hoping they don't ask you? Because you don't know. Remember that classroom? Remember, let's go back a little bit. When we were in classroom and teachers standing there going, okay, we're going to do a little question and answer. Elizabeth, what is the name? Boom, she rattles it off. Patricia, what is it? Boom, she rattles it off. Vicky, what is it? Boom, she rattles it off. Addison, boom. And you sitting right there going, if this woman asked me, I'm going to nut up in here. And then when they ask you, you'd be sitting there going, and they know means I don't know, I don't. And then the teacher will summarize by saying, if you don't know, just tell me you don't know. Don't waste our time going all around Adam's apple grove. You start telling the Magna Carta, and we're not even talking about that. You don't know. And so what happens to us in the body of Christ is we'll get exposed by what we don't know, so it'll be better for us to learn. So when we're asked, the Bible says, when any man asks of you, you should be able to give an answer, especially pertaining to the things of God. I don't know the quantum theories and all that. I have nothing to do with that. I don't think I need to use that. I know when you put gas in the car, it's supposed to go. That's about the level I need to know about anything, motion and every action, reaction, and all that kind of stuff. But what I do know is I'm willing to share you. Silver and gold I may not have, but such as I have. And that's at the level that you have it, that you can be enlightened. But you don't have to be totally enlightened all by yourself. You bring along somebody else. Two of us together can get this thing done. And so he said, please understand, he's a liar. And those lies are going to destroy us because it leads to death. Okay? Let's go to John 14. Turn some pages and you'll be there directly. Because what happens for us is what we ought to want to happen for everybody else. When you get good news, you want to share good news. How many of you ever had good news, want to share with somebody, and they received it poorly, and you felt like, well, I wasted my time telling you good news? It happens, doesn't it? You get so excited, you want to tell somebody, you say, oh, I got something to tell you. And they say, what? And you say, blah, blah, blah. And they sit there and go, oh, okay. And you go, that's it? Did you hear what I just said? Blah, 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 blah. And they go, yeah, I heard you. You say to yourself, I'm going to be sharing my goodness. Enlightenment. And next time, I better cast my pearl to the swine. But what we must understand is, you've got good news. And you, beloved of God, are called of God to spread this gospel. It's everybody's calling. You know, and sometimes we sit around in the church in the body of Christ as believers, and we're sitting back, you know, just in the cheering section when we ought to be on the field. You know, I would encourage every one of you to know what it feels like to be out there. You know, and again, y'all know I listen to songs, but put me in, coach, I'm ready to play. You know, I don't want to be on the sideline. I remember when the first time I signed up for Pop Warner football, you know, they was lining all the kids up, and everybody come out there on the first day, you know, everybody standing around, and they start calling out positions, you know, and they say, wide receiver, and I took off. You know, and then they say, cornerbacks. I said, hey, I need to go over there. And the man said, you can't be everywhere. I said, I can do that too. He said, we're going to find out. You know, I want to be out there. And thank God, most of my athletic time, I never came off the field. I played offense, defense, special teams, and was pretty darn good at it. But the fact of the matter is, it was my desire. Some guys, they never want to get in. You know, they would call, like sometimes, you know, they get out there and somebody forget to go out there and they'd be like, I need a tight end. And man, you ain't going to beat me out there. Man, I was out on defense sometimes in linebacker. I ain't even never played linebacker in my life, but I know what to do. I seen it done. Came out the game one time, made two good tackles before the coach realized I'm playing linebacker. He said, what are you doing out there? You ain't no linebacker. I said, but I tackle people. We might put you at linebacker. You got to want it. Okay? Now look what he says. Everybody in John 14? Look at what he said in verse 6. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's your good news. It ain't about you. It's about this right here. Tell them what he said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So even when you have your critics, you can deflect a little bit and say, listen, salvation ain't me. But I can tell you he is the way, the truth, and the life. How do you know? Because I tried it. My experience with him is my encouragement to you. I know this works. How many of you have ever recommended something to somebody, a product, a way, you know, some of you know, you find the latest and greatest, you know, slices, dices, hundreds of Julian fries, and you say, oh, you got to get one of these. And you say, why? I'm telling you, this thing makes life simple. Like the mixer. Remember the mixer? When the old kind. And then somebody got one of them electric ones in the car and said, child, you got to get you one of these sunbeams. Why, child, you can whip and you be cooking just to play with your new toy. Anybody ever got a toy like that and you just use it and you wind up making 700 cookies and 60 pies and you're like, ooh, child, let me mix something else. Well, because you find success with it. But if you buy it and it don't work, you tell folks, child, that's a bunch of junk. Don't even waste your time. Why? Because you didn't have success with it. Can I tell you why this church looks like it looks? We don't know how to promote our own success. You guys have got it going on. I'm serious. You guys have this experience with God. You have been the partaker of life. With your aches and pains and quirks and disappointments and setbacks, but look at you now. There's not one of us in here that have always been successful in everything. But look what God did. He encouraged us. He said, get on back out there. You'll be all right. You know, some of us quit trying because we got tired of being rejected or pain. Listen, pain is part of growing. It really is. It's part of dying too, but choose. You're going to have pain anyway, no matter how you look at it. Might as well choose the greater. And the reality for us in the body of Christ is we can't. Actively seek folk if we sit on our duff. Yeah, I might need this. I'm going to hit you and use it as a tool. I mean, you can't bring people if you ain't going somewhere. You can't lead people if you haven't a desire for the betterment of your fellow. I want stuff for you. And, you know, I've been saying it since 1997 when I got here. I want more for you than you want for yourself, and you ought to be ashamed of that. I see you in ways that you know, I saw you as the you you becoming a long time ago. I used to pick on you too. I still do. But I pick on you to encourage you. I really do. I've never tried to break her. But man, what we're seeing out of Elizabeth now, I prayed for it. She was so shy and thought she was cute and bougie, sitting all up in our church, you know, like, I'm from 8th Street. I just stopped by to bless y'all. You better get on out of here. But, you know, but I believe, same thing with Jasmine, with Raven, with Melvin, with I look at you and say, boy, God, if we can get that one to turn. Man, you know what happened? We get 50 strong brothers in this church. I've been praying for 25. We get 25 brothers who got this thing with God going on. That's 25 sisters. That's 60 kids. Because, you know, boys and girls tend to make little boys and girls. That's growing our church all day. The Richburgs have mastered it. The Andersons came along and mastered it. You know, when the Andersons first came, it was like 4 Andersons. Now we're up to what, 7 Andersons or something like that? We had a lot. Keep him coming. I pray the Lord keep him healthy and strong. Don't let his back go out, Lord. We need him. You know, because it's not only for the betterment of us, it's for the betterment of him. His kids are healthy and strong, and he can watch his kids. I mean, look, his son works in the ministry. Daughter sings on the choir, wife sings. Man, that's great for him. That's a crown in his thing, you know, a feather in his whatever. All of those things. I mean, the same thing happens in every life. Someday these young ladies going to find a husband. They're going to bring him to church. They done brought a few in here for us to look them over. Mm-hmm. We gave them the thumbs up. It is imperative that you understand. You got good news. You don't have to try to got the script. He says, teach them. Make disciples. And tell them that you've been led by a liar. Satan is lying to you, getting you to cheat yourself out of the wonderful life that is afforded you in Christ Jesus. Don't live beneath your privilege under any circumstance. Ask and it shall be given is an absolute charge to my spirit. And there are things I'm waiting on. I'll be waiting because I know I asked for it. I didn't forget what I asked him, and he didn't forget either. He's faithful. He will remember. For our sons and our daughters, it may take some of them a while. But see, that makes the celebration greater. By the time some of them come over, we're like, whoo, we've been praying for you for 6 years. Thank you, Jesus. But we win. Why? Because we are telling the truth. I would that no man perish is an absolute from God. He don't want nobody to miss it. You shouldn't want them to miss it either. I mean, seriously. How many of you have ever saw somebody in distress and your compassion wouldn't let you forget, or you felt like, what could I do something? You know, that's part of a gift that we have. When we look at people and we see, you know, what we believe dictates compassion. Because we know God. You know, I want you to come see a man. You know, you read that story. Next time you read that story, really just pay attention to this woman's transition from really being kind of uppity with Jesus, saying, you know, you're not even from around here. And, you know, she almost calls Jesus ignorant. You didn't bring nothing to get water with? How you going to get water and you don't even have a, you know, she's kind of telling you, you done come up short there, homeboy. And Jesus looks at her and says, you know, the kind of water I'm talking about. And then she kind of goes, And little by little, she realizes she's in the company of somebody different. And if you read the text very carefully, you can almost see her saying, you ain't like nobody I ever met before. And that's really what you have. You have that ability in your Christian character to sit with people who ordinarily wouldn't sit with you, to talk to people who ordinarily wouldn't talk to you. Yes, ma'am. Oh, absolutely. Not only me, but everybody. We can do that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we recognize, Lord, that the body is fragile, and we recognize, Lord, that pains come and pains go. But even right now, Lord, we declare victory over this pain, victory, Lord, over this condition. We pray, God, that it is passing and not permanent. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for a fresh anointing from Minister Dixon, from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Even now, Lord, reverse that which is happening. Bring her back to a state of calm, a state of solidarity. Heal, Lord. Lord, you know exactly where to start and you know where to finish. In the name of Jesus, we all together in this room, Lord, pray that you'll touch her body right now. Father, we're waiting on you. That your name be glorified. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Come on, Jesus. By your stripes, Lord. By your stripes. We're calling on the promise. By your stripes. Hallelujah. God bless you. Shout when you feel it now, because I know it's coming. So he says to them, he says, you have this message. You go and you make disciples, and this is what you tell them. You tell them that I am the way, the truth, and the life. You tell them that their focus and their faith is in me. Don't put your trust in nothing else. If it is not real to you, it ain't gonna be real to nobody else. And people will watch for your genuineness. That young lady, when she confronted Peter, she was able to confront him because she saw him. She said, I saw you. I know you. She could identify him because he was the only real one sitting around the fire. So You have to understand that part of what you're doing in your character development, part of your enlightenment to the world, part of your endearment to the world, part of your encouragement to the world, your enrichment to the world comes out of the fact that you are real. And I said, as I told you before, I just want to encourage you to let you know you've got something to work with already. Stop sitting around waiting for some revelation or waiting for the right conference to come along and the right conferee. And I'm going to the bishop and I'm going to drive down to see so-and-so so they can lay hands on me because then I'll be, no, you chasing rabbits. God is everywhere. And if the Lord is not supreme in your church, you ain't got no church. Don't let anybody, child, you need to come over here. Healing and deliverance over here. Healing and deliverance is where the Lord is, and the Lord is right here. I ain't got to get no $50 line, $100 line. No. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't let Satan lie to you. And you need to understand that there are those who are trying aggressively to destroy the Word of God. Y'all pay attention, this Supreme Court thing finna get ugly. Don't let that kind of, see, y'all, I mean, y'all, God bless y'all, but we have been sleeping in the church. We've been letting stuff go up and become law and all. Let me tell you something. We're not under that kind of foolishness. And we can't keep compromising. But don't let them fool you. Just because a man in a black robe says it's right, don't make it right. If it's against the Word of God, it's wrong. I don't care what they say. They talk, their opinion will come down in June. Jesus on his way. This is a mess. This foolishness of attacking people and killing people, your Bible told you these things were going to come. People burning their children in the middle of the street. Families turning on families. Read your word. He said, you better watch the times. And we're sitting around in the church arguing over painting on walls and all that kind of crazy stuff. We need to go make more disciples. When the war's coming, you need to recruit. And so he said, please understand that what you are dictates what the church becomes. We can't sit around just talking about there's just going to be a remnant and not be concerned about what's in the remnant. I am. Amen. So he says, well, please understand, men have done this. They've tried to destroy the Word of God. They tell us, we don't need this day. We don't need to do this. We don't need to do that. The Word of God ain't true. Ain't no such thing as God. Ain't no Jesus. And, you know, they make jokes and laugh about it. You know, if you think it's funny, okay, laugh. But you better face the reality. Satan is ramping up his efforts to destroy the body of Christ. Churches are folding, preachers committing suicide. It's crazy. And we just sitting back waiting on Hezekiah Walker to come out with another album. He ain't saving us. I mean, Hezekiah, all right. God bless Andre Crouch left us not long ago. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is, this is the gospel, y'all. Our power is in the Word of God. It is not in buildings and foolishness. Don't they? Vans will break down, chandeliers will fall, bulbs will go out, carpets get rangy, matted, but Jesus is Lord. Our best news is right here on our lips. And we don't have to draw people by attractiveness. We draw them by the power and authority of the anointed Word of God. Come hear the Word. I've said it to you a long time ago. Don't invite folk to come see this God-awful handsome man. Have him come hear the Word of God. There's some amen should have came in there somewhere. I mean, just tell him you need to come hear the Word. You know, we push our pastor to preach and teach the Word of God, and we don't let him goof off with it. You know, we want the Word, Pastor, and when you come into the body of Christ, be ready to hear from God. And if we don't meet that standard, then you're like, no, we're not going to pay your bills. We're not going to fix, no, we're going to bring you the Word. Now, we'll help if we can help. But don't come to us just to pimp us, because you're going to be greatly disappointed. Yes, ma'am. I was just going to say, you, that would not be unusual. Not anything. That's true. And Satan likes that. If we just feed folk and laugh and sit around and nobody breaks the gospel. That's, you know, I tell people, I don't like concerts. I'm sorry. If we're not going to bring a word, we ain't done nothing. We need to hear from, I mean, the music is fine, but I think somebody mentioned it not too long ago. Some of the music don't even mention Jesus no more. You know, it's just boom, 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 boom. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we have to say, well, was that a gospel song? Did they even say Jesus or Lord or God or faith or Savior? It's lyrical. It's an entertain, you know, and Paul said that. It's going to entertain our ears and we're going to feel good about it. We're going to all each other, ooh, what a concert. And nobody got saved. Nobody even did an altar call. It's inconvenient. And you watch the church, watch the movement of the body of Christ. We've gotten to, even when we do deeply spiritual things, we don't even respond to it. I mean, we're begging people to pray. God help us. I'm just telling the truth. We have done horrible things under the guise of good Christian order, and we are proving ourselves to be liars and fraudulent. Because if you won't pray, that says something really negative right there. Even to the point of how we don't give, that says something negative about us. If God is not our priority, that says something about us. If we don't attend to the things of God, but we can attend to the things of man, that says something about us. Jesus said, he said, listen, I abhor your festivals and your lips and your song. He said, I don't want no more of that. Give me you. That's what he says. That's why I love it when you sing that song. That's all he wants. There's more I require of you. And we sit there and listen to that song and distance ourselves because it doesn't move us. My pastor used to say to us when we were coming up, he said, just at the name of Jesus, every eye ought to fill with tears because we know we have done him wrong. Now we sit back and go, hey, go again. As I said to you before, I've been here 17 years and some folk have never dotted the door of Bible study, never dotted the door of an evening prayer. And as much as we know the power of prayer, and we think to ourselves, that's inconvenient. But we'll get up early in the morning and drive to work. We'll drive. We'll think of ice cream in the middle of the night, not think nothing of getting in the car, driving back to Walmart to spend God's money on ice cream, cake, pie, and go back home, eat, and have a good old time. And Sunday morning, it's inconvenient to be on time for Christian Academy. It's inconvenient to go and pray. What are we saying? We're not doing the works. Again, the evidence is clear. I watched those football games and we got robbed. Dallas got robbed. Let's just put that out there. How do you catch a ball and go three steps? Fall? If anything, it's a fumble and a recovery. Okay, got that out my system. We got robbed. But anyway, not an empty seat. It was freezing cold in Green Bay. And they were in there strong. And I said to myself, I wonder how many of them people went to church this morning. Because they were out there tailgating in the frigid cold. We got climate-controlled atmosphere. Something's wrong, saints. I ain't got nothing against it. I'm telling you that now. But, you know, y'all know me. I'm committed to this. I don't miss church for nothing. You know, I chased Florida State all over the country this year, but I got back to go to church. Drove all night. Said, I'll be in church. I can make it. I was a little tired, but once I got here, I felt good about it. But the fact of the matter is, we got to make disciples. You're right. We can't just feed and entertain and not bring the gospel. We need to require decision. You have these long conversations with people and then just bid them farewell. What's your decision? And if you make a decision, we're going to hold you accountable to it. You say it. And so he says, well, please understand, men have tried to destroy the gospel. But you have the word of truth. So Three things now to add with the four pillars. Three things that you need to understand about discipleship life. And these three things are not going to ever change. It's costly. It's going to take something. It's exacting. In other words, we got to do this thing right. And it's testing. It's going to test you. Yeah, you're going to find out who you really is. And the Lord going to prove it to you. He going to expose you. Why? Because we don't need no frauds. It's costly. It's going to be tested. It's exacting. You can't just treat God no any kind of way. You can't do no any kind of thing in the body of Christ. That's why the Bible says, what? Bring your first fruits. Let me tell you something around here, saints. I'm going to tell you this, and it's just God's own truth. We don't have a lot of first fruit people in this ministry. We got a lot of people who just throw anything up on the table, throw anything in worship. We don't have what God deserves in this church yet. And we're going to change that. And it's up to you. It's your decision. Because I can tell you something right now. He knows. You ain't fooling nobody. You ain't fooling us because we know better. I'm telling you now that what we ask of anybody in this ministry, I don't know about anybody else's church. I pastor one church and that's plenty. But I know that we have set a standard here that we don't have to compromise on because you don't like it. Here we go again. We should have been there. There are things we should have attended to in this ministry that we haven't simply because people got bad attitudes. And defiance is not discipleship. Be very mindful. If you look at the character of discipleship, there's not a defiant word ever spoken from a disciple. Their curiosity causes them sometimes to ask questions, but it's never been about, we ain't going to do it. They slept with him. They ate with him. Wherever he went, they went. Even when they caused concerns, there were concerns based on emotion and realities, and he addressed that. He said, I understand. He said, I know you left everything. They came and said, well, you know, we left our moms. He said, I know. He said, well, please understand, you'll be recompensed for that. And that was good enough for them. They didn't say, well, I want mine now. He said, listen, your father knows what you gave up, but you're going to get paid for that. There's a cost in it. And it's going to be tested. He said, because the devil wants to sift you. He told Peter, he said, Peter, I know you love me. He said, but please understand, the devil wants you. And see, some of us think that, you know, when we come into the body of Christ, we're going to hit cruise control, autopilot. No, it's going to be some tests. And don't let the wicked world fool you that when you test it, that don't mean you ain't saved. Amen. If you were saved, this wouldn't happen. The devil is a liar. I'm saved and it's happening. Saved folk get sick, have aches, pain, bills pile up, phone ring in the middle of the evening. They're not past 9 o'clock, so they say. But it happens. Why? Because sometimes we make bad decisions. We don't consult God about everything. Ain't nobody else telling that lie. We don't consult God about everything. There's some stuff we do that we hope God don't know. Amen, everybody. I mean, there's some places we got on our agenda we hoping that God took a nap. That never sleep nor slumber mess us up sometimes. But the reality is you're covered. Oh, yeah. Listen, come on. Ain't nobody in this room cannot say amen to the fact that even when you were foolish, he covered you. It ain't one of his selling points, but he does it. Because if God, in fact, was strict, I would have never made it past 6. I'd have died at 6 years old. I need to sit here a minute and think about that. No, I mean, I'm just telling you the God's honest truth. See, y'all look at me sometimes and think, oh, Reverend Grace. No, I'm telling you the truth. You, listen, you were designed before you got here to be the elect of God. Listen, it's God's will concerning you. Take away the title. Take away the garment. You know, that's, you notice, I changed the garment thing. You know, I ain't wore a suit and who knows when. You know, I got my little things I had made for preaching. I like them. It's easy. But the fact of the matter is, does it make me any less pastoral? So I said, what the heck? I can save some cleaning money here. But the fact of the matter is, the destruction of the gospel is our fault because we haven't defended it. We got good news for our sons, our daughters, our neighbors, our friends, and folk we know need this gospel. We need to tell them, listen, I ain't giving up on you because you need this. If anybody need the Lord, you a prime candidate because your life has been jacked up so long, you ought to see the favor of God on your life. That's good news. I mean, it's encouragement. To tell them, say, you know, you do know why you're still alive, because I keep praying for you, and I know God hears and answers my prayer. If there's anything that encourages me to know God hears and answers prayer, it's you. Because I love you. And then you ought to show them what God says about them. He loves them. And understand that the word of truth is still the word of truth. I know preachers mess up. Yes, they do. There have been some instances here recently with pastors and churches. Okay, it happens. But I ain't blaming God. In fact, and I know you may not agree with me, but when I see stuff like that, I praise God all the more because I recognize that there's a grace clause even on that life. So, I mean, don't look at that. That's why I don't go to church. No, that's why I go to church. Because I don't know when I'm going to become him. Come on now, you and I both know that we can all testify that if they went in our file and dug up some of the other stuff, we would be shamed too. Because we done things. And we so glad that people who know that they're dying, we wait on the last witness to die. Amen. It's some people, when they say so-and-so died, I go, ooh, yeah, that's one less. That's one less subpoena right there. Amen. Y'all might as well say amen. That's one less subpoena there, Lord. You ain't going to be able to get them now. The reality for us is the gospel works. Truth is a benefit to us. Okay? So it's costly. It's exacting. And it should be tested. How are you going to know what you got if you don't try it? And I'll tell you now, when I was young, I think I told you all this before, but it's funny, a little funny story to me. When I was working for my grandfather, there was a Muslim guy who used to sell fish sandwiches up and down the sidewalk. And he looked, hot fish sandwich, try it before you buy it. Hot fish sandwich, try it before you buy it. And he would take certain, sandwiches and cut them up in the hors d'oeuvre quarters, how you cut them sandwiches. And you get, here you go. They were hot. He had a little cooler thing. Hot fish sandwich, my brother. Try it before you buy it. And before you bought a sandwich, he said, here, try this. I don't know what the Muslim was doing to that fish, but I bought a whole lot of them hot fish sandwiches. And I know buying them was supporting their ministries. But I wanted the fish sandwich. And we were $2 back then. This is 1975, 76, 77. $2 for a hot fish sandwich. Man, listen, I bought a lot of them things. But he said, try it before you buy it. His tenacity, his energy is what got you. Man, it would be hot as Hades out there. And that dude walking around with all that Muslim garb on, hot fish sandwiches, my brother, try it before you buy it. You couldn't turn away from that guy. There's just something about him. And if he caught you looking at him, he'd go, come on, my brother, I know you want one. Come on, he put that thing down, reaching there. He put a little glove on. He was cool. Put a little glove on. Go, try this. Come on, one bite, your soul. And you ate and didn't want it, he'll go, I'll see you tomorrow. He said, you're going to be thinking about it. He'll go on about his business. But we have this gospel. We ought to be selling this thing, promoting the gospel. That's what it means to actively seek people. You got a product in Christ Jesus that's going to change the world. It ought to be tested. You ought to be sure. The devil ain't going to let you just skate around because you put on holy garments. The devil ain't going to leave you alone. He attacks your body right in the church. God was teaching us something. Yeah. Some people say, well, that's why I don't go because I feel bad. You're going to feel bad home or here. Make up your mind. I'd rather press my way to the Lord. I'm letting God use you. And you didn't want to be used like that. You didn't volunteer, Lord. But I'm telling you, y'all need to pay attention to what happens around you. I don't miss nothing. I'm nosy. My grandmama told me that. Said, baby, you don't miss nothing. I really believe God was using you to help us with our point here. We're going to get tested. Because you could have got up and walked out. That's true. But that's real. See, that's good. That's real. You know, I was feeling bad the other night, and I said to myself, well, I got ministers. They can take care of things. And I said, they need a moment or two, you know. But I didn't, because I'm just sitting around saying, oh, Lord, you shouldn't do me like this. You're going to get tested. It's going to cost you something. And I'll tell you something now. Anything that all you do is take out of and know nothing come out of you, that ain't real. It ought to cost you something. Being a Christian disciple, listen, a church goer is easy because that's casual. I've seen people walk out of church for crazy reasons. They upset, don't like something. But when you're really a disciple, you got to take your grind. You know, when God got you, you got to say, Lord, you sure got me on that one. But you can't just, I'm leaving. I don't appreciate him. Thank you, Lord, for revealing the truth in me. Sometimes my preaching get me. I'm working on preaching. Sometimes I say, boy, if you say that, you're going to pray. You know, okay. But the fact of the matter is, what it cost us is worth it. Okay? The word of truth is what makes us disciples. It is not the fact that we enjoy concerts or music or attending or pews or decorative environments. It's the word of truth that makes us disciples. The next thing to understand is what it costs you, you don't really pay. Because he paid it all. What it cost you. Let's go to Matthew 16. Go backwards. And I'm going to show you. I hope I'm helping you now. Because, see, we don't need to fool you to keep you. If you want us to have a cake and ice cream ministry, you're in the wrong church. They don't need us telling you no more lies. You've been lied to enough. Amen. And the day is young. It's early Sunday. But it's costing. And Jesus makes this clear. What you must understand about Jesus, I pray that you'll get this, he never tried to whitewash being a disciple life. Jesus was not the one who said, you're going to come to me and all your bills are going to get paid, or you're going to find the right man. No, Jesus didn't say that. What he did say is right here in Matthew 16, and come down, if you will, please, to verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 2. Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside selfish ambition, shoulder your cross, and follow me. Watch this. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. See, that's what we got going on in the church. A lot of selfish ambition. A lot of it's all about me. Jesus said, no, you're not my disciple. Because if you're still living like that, you haven't become a disciple. You're still all about you. He said, you're going to have to put aside your selfish ambition. Why? Because if I'm the priority, you can't be. Both of us can't be the priority. And some of us try to dress it up by saying, well, I got to get my degree, and I got to do this, and I got to. You done missed the whole point. The first order of business is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And see, when we started pushing that in the church, folks start getting angry and start dividing and, you know, departing. And, you know, I've heard it from everybody about who gone and why they gone. It's all a bunch of malarkey. Because all I've done is told you the truth. You don't have to like what I drive or where I live. You don't have to like who I'm married to. You don't have to like my children. I don't, you know, sometimes I don't like my children. You ain't the first one that didn't like my children. Sometimes I don't like my children. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Oh, he think he all that. He done took the church money and built the house. I ain't going to be homeless. There's too much gospel about you taking care of the preacher for me to be homeless and hungry and anything else. I'm telling you now, the point of the matter is this gospel. I'm not envious. Man, when you bought your house, I was proud and happy. When you got your car, I smiled and said, ooh, I like that little buggy. You know, I couldn't fit in it, but I mean, that's what, you know, when you talked about being a nurse, and you talk about things, when you bought your car, didn't I encourage you? Beautiful little white car. I mean, I got nothing wrong with that. You know, when Brother Thomas showed up in his Sonata, I said, man, that is nice. I got tired of him being put down by that old Lincoln. I was praying, Lord, bless him. He's a good man. And then when he showed up, I said, look at him. God, you all right. Because every time I see God do something for y'all, I give God praise first. Then I come along and tell you, man, that's all right. Because I believe the God that you serve will give you anything you could ask, think, or imagine. That's the gospel. When I see your life in the gospel, I'm all right with it. When I see your life out of the gospel, I'm praying. Come on, Lord, bring him back in. Come on, Lord, he's slipping. When I don't see you on Sunday, I look around and say, okay, Lord, cover him. Cover her. Because I don't know what y'all doing, and I'm not going to follow you to ask you. Some of y'all tell it on Facebook. I don't have to ask. I just go to Facebook and say, well, okay, so that's where you were. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus says, you're going to have to give up selfish ambition. And I said to my servant leaders when we have our little morning prayer, that's the priority of our thing, that we be servants. The whole of the gospel is about being a servant. We missed that somewhere. I don't know how we missed that. When he said feed and clothe and cover and care, that's servant life. So he says, and I like, and I always tell you to be careful when you see the word if. He said, if you want to be. Don't let me want you to be and you don't want to be. He said, if any of you, that means anybody can qualify for discipleship life. Not everybody can be a servant leader, but everybody qualifies as a discipleship life. And until we bring our church to full compliance in discipleship life, we are not going to be a disciple church. And that's got to be everybody, because a house divided. What's that old saying? One bad apple. One monkey. But it sure make it entertaining for a minute. And that's the reality of what the church is. We have people who are always going to be defiant, always going to be deliberate in their actions, but we can't stop being what we are. And we need to be converting those people. We need to say, listen, you're going to change now. You keep hanging around us. You know, we got our little slogan, you're going to ride with us, you got to ride like us. That's gospel. Jesus says, if you can't do that, you can't be my disciple. Please understand, Jesus understands departure. Jesus understands that not everybody's going to do it. So please stop criticizing me about who leaving this church, because they're going to leave anyway. I ain't running nobody off. They make their own choice. They want to go. We ain't ever lying about them and say, you stay, you go, you stay, you. No, no. Jesus says, I know some folk ain't going to make it. And if Jesus understood it, I understand it too. Jesus says, watch this now. He says, if you give up your life, verse 25, part B, but if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. That's my best life. Your real life is hidden in Christ Jesus. So what does that mean? Give up selfish ambition, give up your own agenda, and you will discover what your real life is like. Because I really believe every one of you have a life in Christ Jesus. He says it. The word says it. My life is hidden. So you got to go find it. That's why the Bible says what? Seek ye the Lord. Seek him. You'll find him. He ain't hiding. And see, our problem is we want to live in shadows. We'd rather be fake than be real. God said, if you're going to be my disciple, it ain't about you. I got to do this. I listen to people. I listen very carefully. People's selfish ambitions give them away. When you talk about being a supervisor and being this, that, and the other, and what you've been known as and all your accomplishments, that's fine. Now, don't be dumb as a box of rocks. Learn all you can learn. Live all you need to live, but keep Christ first. This is the word of God. This is not pastor saying, I don't want none of y'all to quit y'all job. Please keep working. I'll show you what the Thessalonian letter says about that in a little while. But please understand, beloved God, whatever you do, you ought to do it to his glory. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. When you, I made up my mind that 2015 was going to be a bolder year for me, like the Vulcan ship, you know, be bolder and stronger. When you give it away, I'm going to tell you exactly what you said and how it is in competition or in defiance with the Word of God. Because when you tell me things, I'm listening to you. And I know now it's my responsibility to rebuke foolishness. So when you start saying things to me like, you can, and this, I'm going to tell you exactly why. When the Holy Spirit said, tell them why. Because anything you put before God needs to be moved. So when you tell me why you can't come to prayer and why you can't make Bible study and why you can't give enough time, I'm going to tell you, look at your life and you're juggling too many things. Your priorities are all messed up. I have made it. See, let me give you a quick summary of things. When I was in the military, I had 15 years and some months. All I needed to do was reenlist one more time, and I make it retirement. And God said, now is the test. Am I really going to be your priority, or are you going to stay here for the glory of man? I'm on promotion list, going to make E8. And God said, okay, because that's what I wanted. I laid it out. I said, man, I'm going to make blah, blah, blah. And God said, okay. And then he calls me into test. He said, okay, I'm going to give you a little country church to pay you $200 a Sunday. Decision. I said, God, are you serious? Because, you know, that's how me and God talk. I'm making E7 pay. Benefits, dental, housing. I'm fat. All is well. Wife got a little car. I got a little car. Kids are happy. College is looking down the road. I'm thinking this is going to work for me. 5 years and I got this made. I'm going to do this standing on my head. For whatever reason I want to stand on my head, I'm going to do it. And God said, decision. And I walked. And people told me I was a fool. A big fool and other kinds of fool. My daddy turned on me. I love him. But he told me, he said, you a fool. He said, how in the world are you going to live on $400 a month? Don't call me and ask me for a dime. Get it from your church folk. I said, no, I'm going to do better than that. I'm going to get it from God. Amen. Oh, I swole up on him for a minute. I was respectful. And I told my wife, we leaving. She said, okay. She said, I married you to follow you. Okay. And I went. And it wasn't easy. The phone started ringing. The mortgage was past due. The bills. And I said, God, I will not let one person say I told you so. So we suffered in silence. We didn't tell nobody. And we didn't look poor. We kept dressing and washing our clothes. We ironed a few more than we sent to the cleaners. But nobody knew. But God, our tears were with God alone. When I stood up, I stood in courage. Because it wasn't about me. Then I got to the state police. Things are going well, rolling right along. And God said, decision. And I said, now, wait a minute, God. We've done this before. God said, decision. Are you going to trust me? And I said, I'm gone. And I have nightmares about working state police and my family and benefits. And God said, are you going to trust me? See, and some of us sit in this room think that what we're doing is more important than what God wants you to do. You won't make no decisions. You around here hustling and bustling and you trying to do all you know, and you ain't making no progress whatsoever. Because you won't make a commitment to keep him first. Ain't no whole lot of amens coming, Deacon Anderson. They're looking at me now. You're looking at your shoes and the wall. No, I'm right here. God will require that you put aside self-ambition. Because all of it going to pass away. There will not always be an army. There will not always be a Department of State Police. There will not always be a Lynchburg College or Walden Pond or Wells Fargo or whatever it is. It won't always be. But he will. And will you really want to stand before God and say, well, I had a career to take care of? God said, I offered you a career with the best benefit package in all the land. I'm not telling you to quit your job. I'm just telling you to set your priorities. Paul was a tent maker. But if you pay attention to him, you never heard him talk about making tents again. He built the house for God
that all can stay in.
And our realities are right before us. You need to go to work. You need to take care of your family. That's fine. You made that woman, daddy, a promise. You took his daughter out of his house. You said you're going to do it. But Jesus says, if you do one thing, do this. Give up your life for me, and you'll have a life. Don't do it trying to impress man. Do it for him. And you don't have to make no big speech. You can just have a private time with God and say, Lord, here's what I'm going to do. And please understand, when you've gone down a wrong road, the road back is just as long. Can I explain that to you? If you have done the wrong thing for 10 years, that's 10 years of backtracking you got to do. So if you build up your finances and corrupted them by making bad financial decisions, just because you come to the Lord don't mean he's going to forgive all your debt. You got to pay them people. But you got to be faithful to God. You got to say, Lord, I made a mistake. I didn't ask you about none of this stuff. Now I'm in a hole. And so, God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to confess with my mouth that I messed this up. But, God, I'm going to need your help. And you may win the lottery. I don't know. Somebody may die and leave you money. I don't know. But what I do know is your word ought to be your bond. You promise God that you're going to turn around and get this thing right. Don't get halfway down the road and somebody make you another crazy offer and you go, oh, this is what the Lord wants. No. If it don't look like God, it ain't God. Amen. It's costly. He says, now watch this, going on. He said, and how do you benefit? Stay with me now. I'm about finished. How do you benefit if you gain the whole world? See, that's what some of us caught up in the world. The houses, the cars, the money. The friends, the popularity, the travel. Now we're blessed. No. You've gained the whole world because your spiritual life is horrible. You can't make church because you got to hang out with the world. You can't make Bible study because you got to hang out with the world. You can't do this for God because you got this for the world. That's gaining the whole world. If whatever you're doing is bigger than God, you're doing the wrong thing. Those fishermen, let me give you a quick example. My time is precious as sure as yours. Those fishermen were not bum fishermen. They were good at it. If you look at Zebedee, it's obvious that Zebedee was a great fisher because he hired people. Stay with me. It was obvious that they were good at their trade. But when Jesus said, walk, they walked. He didn't bring them out of something. They said, well, we were no good at it anyway. No. They were good at it. And whatever you're doing in the body of Christ, I don't care where you work. I don't care what you do. When God says walk, you ought to walk. There's something God will let you stay and do, but you need to make sure that he knows that you're willing to keep him first. Because if you gain all of the world, listen, let me tell you something here now, beloved of God. About 95% of what we're dealing with every day is worldly. The clothes, house, the money, the car, the taxes, all that's worldly. We give God about 4 hours out of our life. Really, most of us, about 4 hours. Some of us got here about 9:30, and we'll leave about 1 o'clock. So you do the math: 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, about 1:30. That's 4 hours. You ain't coming back to Bible study. Some of y'all ain't coming to Bible study. Some of y'all ain't coming to evening prayer on Wednesday. I won't see none of y'all again till next Sunday, and you're not going to be on time then. It's less than 4 hours. But you got your other stuff you're doing. You got your club, your girlfriend, your bridge. I ain't got nothing against it. Enjoy. But you made that choice. Don't look at me with crooked eyes because I'm telling you the truth of God. That's what you hired me for, so you say. So I'm going to do what you hired me to do. I'm going to tell you the truth. That's what I'm up here for. I am not up here to soothe you and coax you and tell you that you're doing all right. Because you're not. Financially, we are on the borderline of making real hard decisions because we won't give. And if we put some thugs at the back door, it's $10,000 in this room on a given Sunday. My responsibility to God, because I made him the priority, is to make this truth real. Make it live among us. And so when we look at the gaining of the whole world, most of you have gained very much from the world. In fact, all of you have gained from the world because what you have is worldly. This is worldly. The keys to that whip outside, that's worldly. Ain't no salvation in nobody's car, nobody's car. But all y'all got cars, that's worldly. The house you live in, worldly. The hairdo, worldly. The nails, do it, baby, go for it. But don't you try to fool yourself under the guise of getting mad at me about truth. He said, get rid of self-ambition, because if you gain the whole world, what do you really have? Trust me, when you die, none of it's going with you. You're going to stand before God, though. I bet you that. Hellion or saint, you still going to give an account. Let me help you. Let me help you. Get your life in order. Set your priorities, my friend. My reality for you is simply you have advantages that you're not taking advantage of. You are the child of God. You are the elect, the chosen of God. This is your time. Don't let it down your watch. I will guard my post and everything within the limits of my post, quit my post only properly. You on duty. And anything that's wrong, you report it to folks who have authority. Listen to me, beloved of God. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. Your life is too critical for you to be self-driven. You got a wife and children. You got a sister. You got kids. You got friends. All of you, God has positioned you as a light. He said, listen, if salt loses its saltiness, what good is it? You are the flavor of the month. Right where you are. In all of your struggles, in all of your disappointments, in all of your heartaches, you are still what God's trying to use. You don't realize it sometimes because not enough people have done one of the things that's in our four pillars, encouraged you. They say, baby, you got it going. Your life is an example of what faithfulness can be. Some of you think, nobody notice you. I see you. Every one of you has the same father. Oh, think about that. How many of you ever told your parents, that ain't fair, you did it for so-and-so? Yeah, I've had to have that conversation. I've done it with my mom and dad. When my brother or sister got an unfair advantage, I said, wait a minute, you let him do it. Sometimes parents go, well, that's different. No, it ain't no different. You have to be careful how you say it, though. If you ain't 6'5", you can't talk like that. When you was a child and thought as a child, you had to say, but mama, I just think. Now you stand up, you say, look here, old girl. No, you can't say that. See, my mama ain't here now. You see, I waited till she was gone. Let me help you, though. I'm going to help you. I got to stop. I'm over my time. Now I got to do less than 15 minutes of preaching. Please understand, it's costly. We're going to talk about testing and exacting. Lord said the same. But I need you to understand. Let me finish what he tells you. Here it is. He said, listen, verse 26. He said, if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul in the process, is anything worth more than your soul? No. Can I tell you that now? Nothing's worth more than your soul. And your soul matters to God. No matter what shape it's in. Some of us have deteriorated. Some of us have neglected our bodies. And it's our fault. We ate wrong. We didn't do this, didn't do that. But it's worth something. And ain't no fool like an old fool. And no matter how old you are or how broke up you are or how dysfunctional you may think you are still a light. I love this man. Every time he comes in this church, I thank God. That's a light for me. That ain't my daddy. That's his daddy. But that's a light. And a whole lot of y'all don't realize how luminous you really are. There are people in this church that look for you. And when you ain't there, they think, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There are some people looking at you and say, Lord, if I can live to be like Miss So-and-so, I'll have a good life. I can hang around long as brother so-and-so, I've had a good life. And I don't know nothing about brother so-and-so, Lord, but I see him when he comes in. And I trust what you're doing in him, you'll do in me. Amen. I pray one of my sons will turn out like Deacon Lewis Davis. That'll attend to me. Them rascals ain't going to do nothing for me. I see it coming. I'm going to have to hire somebody. I'm going to need me a hop sing. But you know what I say every day? Lord, thank you for him, for his dad. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because he's not selfish in his ambition. And you shouldn't be either. He said, if you gain the whole world, but your soul is so critical. I know I'm over my time, but I'm feeling it right now. Some of you have devalued yourself for far too long. You are an awesome representation of what a life in Christ Jesus can become. You're not there yet. I'll show you next week. The Lord said the same. He said there's a perfecting process. There's a perfecting standard, but you're not there yet. But you ought to stay on the journey. James Cleveland said, I don't feel no ways tired. I've come too far from where I started. The problem with this church is, and I'm going to stop right here, a whole lot of us ain't never started. That's the problem. You can't say you ain't tired if you ain't never started. That's the problem. We've been playing church from the back pew for too long. We come to homecoming. We come to maybe a revival service. We might show up for this or might show up for that. We ain't never committed our way to God for nothing. But we want God to heist up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. Can I tell you something? Y'all been blessed. All of y'all, I'm looking at you with your blessed self. If you ain't got but two nickels to rub together, I can tell you somebody ain't got a penny. You blessed. You got a job. You got your mom. You got some friends. You got people who care about you. You've been on a tough journey, but you're here. Yes, sir. You've had your share of disappointments and heartaches, but baby, you're still here. You're still putting one in front of the other. Somebody would trade places with you 5 minutes ago. God's been good to us. Answered us when we called him. Stayed when others left. Don't you cheat yourself out of a praise. I would give all I have to sit with my daddy in church one Sunday. That's a blessing. It's an honorable thing when a son takes care of his father. Don't devalue your life. You got a sister. Got a sister in good relations with each other. Your soul matters. You got a whole lot to say, God, I thank you. Don't be selfish. Well, that song we sing right here, it's not about us. It's all about Jesus. And see, we're going to sing it, we ought to live it. Our offerings don't reflect it. Our attendance don't reflect it. Our worship don't reflect it. We need to stop lying to God. Because the first lie we tell is to ourselves. Can't promise him that I will serve him till I die, and you ain't never served. God loves you today. If there's anything I can tell you to encourage you and to enlighten you and to enrich you, to endear you, is to tell you that God loves you without compromise. He doesn't love Amanda any more than he loves Pat. He doesn't love Amanda any more than he loves Jasmine. He doesn't love the minister any more than he loves the deacon. He's got the whole world in his hand. God loves you today. Love him back. Let him love you, but love him back and love.